Happy Easter. You should know that Satan is not too happy that I'm up here today. He has thrown everything at me. The cancer started attacking my nervous system, and I was on these painkillers, and then today I decided I'm not going to take any till after the service because the service might be a little loopy if I did. But we had a great prayer time before I left, and I feel like I can make it. And even my legs were given out a little bit before, but now I feel good. I think I can stand the whole time. Our hot water heater got attacked, and we had no hot water. But, you know, with God, you can make it. So we made it here. So what's Easter all about? A lot of people think of bunnies and eggs and that when Easter comes up, but it's not. It's completely different than what Easter is about. You know, as I thought about how I made it here today, this morning, I thought I couldn't be here without all of you guys. There were times in the hospital where I was close to death. And this body of people, this body of Christ here, fasted and prayed for me. The very next day, results were in and things were normal again. And I was going to make it. But that is because of all of you. I would have never done that. But Easter, you know, Friday was Good Friday. And that was the day that we remember that Christ was crucified. That led to this. This is why I'm a Christian. No other religion on this planet has ever had a leader that claimed he was God and then went and proved it. We are the only religion. And this church, I chose this church because it is a real church. It goes into the Word. We don't just talk about it. We're actually in it. We're studying it. We're not afraid to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe we had this wrong and we'll change. We are all about the Word of God. That's why I picked this. After he rose from the dead, that led to this, where Pentecost, he spoke in tongues. Everybody was convicted. And they said, what should we do? And he said, be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And they did. And that was the first body of Christ right there. You are the body of Christ. That was the first one. It says in Corinthians, now you are the body of Christ. Each and every one of you are a part of this body. So in the body of Christ is all these people, all of you. And just because we're the body of Christ doesn't make us not susceptible to what the world's people are like. There's two types of people in the world. One is me-centric. They're focused on themselves. Everything is about them. I'm going to go through this list, even though you can read it up here, but this is how you identify people that are me-centric. They usually see themselves as the victim. They hoard money and material possessions because it's for them. They always feel unappreciated. They feel that they're not being appreciated enough. They always want something in return. If they do something, it's like, well, what do I get out of it? Because they're all about themselves. They abhor advice. If you give them advice, they see that as judgment. And like, I'm not perfect? Are you saying I'm not perfect? They're never happy. They love to pity party. They're not happy with humble, mediocre life. They have to have the best life, best car, best house. They're not happy with humility. They're always covered. what other people have. They see somebody with something bigger and better, they say, I gotta have that. They feel they deserve more than others because it's all about them. They want to be in charge. They don't just come up, hey, what can I do to help? Just tell me what to do. No, they want to take over. They want to be the one in charge. And of course, they know more than anybody. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. They'll tell you. So imagine a whole church of me-centric people. This happens, and this is what kills a lot of churches. Because everybody in, or a majority, it doesn't have to be everybody, but a majority of the members are me-centric. And it hurts the church. Then, when trouble comes, and I'm going to read this too, hurt feelings is one of them, disagreements with another member, or even somebody else. Others are awarded promotions or responsibilities that they wanted, physical injury or illness, financial crisis, time crunch, oh, I don't have time for church, I don't have time for the body. Then they become disinterested. So usually what they do, usually what happens with them is, oh, I swept the wrong way, I need my thing. They tend to do this. They come out of the body and they go by themselves. Eventually, you know, they pull back, they leave the group, they drift away. Eventually, they self-destruct because it's all about them. I want to give you an example in nature. In nature, you see the same lesson being taught. Don't drift from the body. Now, in this example, you'll see some, I think they're zebras, and they're in a herd. Look what happens when one of them strays away.
Four lionesses are now poised to strike if any zebra strays within the 30-meter zone. The danger may seem obvious to us, but zebra only see in black and white.
That was loud. This could be us if we drift too far. Paul said, in 1 Peter it says, be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like an angry, roaring lion, a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some self-centered victim to tear apart. I added two words in there, self-centered. But that's what happens, and that will happen to, and I see it all the time. People pull away, they go out on their own, they don't believe, Satan comes and just ruins their life. It happens constantly. But I want to show you what a human example might look like. Has anybody seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Yeah, okay. So you know, this Bruce starts out, he's a very self-centered man. He wants everything. He wants better car, better apartment, better stuff. And it turns out he was in line to be an anchor in this news group. But he didn't make his co-worker, Evan, made it. And of course, this enraged him because he's a self-centered person. So this is what it looks like when a self-centered person approaches.
Well, thank God you're all right.
God, yeah, let's thank God, shall we? For his blessings are raining down upon me. Wait, that's not rain!
Chris, please don't do that. You know that everything happens for a reason.
That I don't need. That is a cliche. That's not helpful. Bird pens were too in the bush. I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird and my bush.
Oh, I see. So God is picking on you? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's ignoring me completely. far too busy giving Kevin everything he wants.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. This has to... oh, wait a minute.
Thank God you're all right.
God, yeah, let's thank God.
Hold on, sorry. Move this over. Ouch. There we go.
Thank God you're all right.
God, yeah, let's thank God, shall we?
For his blessings are raining down.
Wait, that's not rain!
Bruce, please don't do that. You know that everything happens for a reason.
That I don't need. That is cliche. That's not helpful. Bird pants were too mush. I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird and my bush.
Oh, I see. So God is picking on you? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's ignoring me completely. He's far too busy giving Evan everything he wants. Oh, that's great, Sam. But you missed your target. I'm over here.
Nah, the dog. Not the dog's fault.
No, it's God's fault. I gave the wrong coordinates.
Enough, all right? You're not being such a martyr.
I am not being a martyr. I'm a victim. God is a mean kid sitting on an anthill with a magnifying glass. He could fix my life in 5 minutes if he wanted to, but he'd rather burn off my feelers than watch me squirm.
Yeah, I know you're mad. It's completely understandable. Whatever did is slimy and wrong. This day could have been so much worse. I'm just glad you're okay.
Okay? Newsflash! I'm not okay. I'm not okay with a mediocre job. I'm not okay with a mediocre apartment. I'm not okay with a mediocre life!
Is that what you think that we have? A mediocre life?
Don't make this about you.
About me? How can I make this about me? It's about you. It's always about you.
Well, the worst day of my life because I don't have guilt, please.
Well, that didn't play very well at the end. But anyway, you can see self-centered people hurt the people they're around because they're so involved in themselves. They don't think about the feelings of others. If we had a church like that, I wouldn't be here today. Because everybody, people were bringing food, they were bringing encouragement, they were visiting me. I wouldn't have survived. But self-centered people wouldn't have done one of those things. Yet he did that. Who did he blame in here? He blamed God, of course. God wasn't too happy, so God had a little meeting with him. Said, you think you're so good? Hey, you try it. He makes him God for a while. And you'll see what happens there. But he blamed the dog. He blamed Evan. He blamed everybody, not himself. And he's just not happy with the life he had. He has a beautiful wife. He has a great apartment. He has a car. I mean, he has everything. But not happy. That's a self-centered person. I don't know if you have been to China, but in China I learned how they catch monkeys. Has anybody seen this before? The monkey trap, they have a hole. It's not a jar like it shows there. But they have a trap where they can get their hand in, they can grab this banana. Once they're holding on to the banana, they can't get their hand out. They won't let go. They won't let go of the banana. The guy comes with that owns the trap. He comes and collects his monkey. And they either eat them for monkey brains or they use them to, you know, give to a circus. I don't know. But they catch all these monkeys every day. And it's like us. Don't we do that? We see something we want. We hold on to it. Might be money, might be pride. Maybe it's being right all the time. Can't let go. I'm always right. Well, for me, that's true. Anger, maybe a broken heart, children, revenge, hurt feelings. You just won't let go. Just get past it. And that's how Satan traps you. And then you go off on your own. So as I was thinking of, you know, all the people that helped me in the church, did some research, and there's two words in the Bible that mean helping each other, having a relationship with each other. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Chaawaka and Sadek. Those two words are in the Bible a lot. And they imply that you will keep a relationship between each other and live up to the expectations of that relationship. If you're married, there's expectations. If you're in business, there's an expectation, you know, I'm going to do business with you. And you keep that expectation. And then it also implies living up to the relationship and the expectations of the relationship between you and God, as outlined in Matthew 6, 7, and 8. If you live up to that expectations, then you are these two words. Then I found out in the Bible, those two words, and this was a complete surprise for me, those are translated as righteousness. Wow. I never knew that. So when you're righteous, that means you're living up to the expectations of every relationship in your life. That's being righteous. You join a church, you're expected to show up. You're expected to contribute. You're expected. That's the expectations of that relationship. If you read Isaiah 32 and substitute the word righteousness for the faithful relationship, it says the fruit of a faithful relationship will be peace. You won't be anxious anymore because you're living up to that expectation. It says the effect of a faithful relationship will be quietness and confidence forever. And then he goes on to explain what all that means. Your crops will come in. Things will be good with you. You'll have everything you need. You're not going to be a billionaire. You're not going to be Bill Gates. You will be at peace. And you'll have confidence. That's all it takes. Living up to the relationships and the expectations of those relationships in your life. Well, let's look at a righteous person. A righteous person, it's not, those arrows aren't pointing in anymore. Those arrows are outward bound. They're spending time with God. They fellowship constantly. That's the greatest thing about a righteous person. They're always fellowshipping and being with other people in the body. They're always looking for new challenges. You know, that person there, he needs my help. And they do everything. I look at Rick, and he met this guy up north. I don't know how, it was an hour and a half drive. He needed help, and he took that on as a great challenge. And he went up there every week to study with this man. That's taking new challenges. Meeting other people's needs. Steve is always there to help me. I mean, whatever I need, rides, and Wendy is always bringing meals. I mean, that's the thing, meeting other people's needs. Encouraging others. I got encouragement from every one of you. Either in emails, Facebook, whatever it was, I got encouragement all the time. This person will ask, am I living up to the expectations of this relationship? They look at every relationship in their life and say, am I living up to that expectation? This guy I'm doing business with, does he think I'm trying to cheat him, or does he think I'm a good, honest businessman? Same with brothers and sisters. Same with your wife. What is expected in that marriage? Am I living up to what he's expecting, she's expecting, whatever it is? They're always asking, what do I need to do to change? What needs to change in me? They're not looking at what needs to change in everybody else, like the me-centric guy. They're worried about themselves. They change themselves, and that's enough. How can I serve others? Who have I not forgiven? That's so important to get into heaven. You have to forgive everyone. If you're holding a grudge, if you're holding on to a hate or something that didn't go right between you and another person and you haven't forgiven them, you won't make it. You can do all the charity you want. You won't make it. How can I improve? Always looking to it. To them, profit is not necessary. They are going to try and make as much money as they can, but not to keep it for themselves to hold on to. They're making as much money so they can give and help others. They use their wealth to fund the body of Christ. Imagine a church like that. I think that's what we have. Everybody is outward bound. Everybody is looking for to help others. And when all those things happen, those bad things that we talked about before, they tend to do this. They go in and get help. They get advice. They let other people encourage them and do things for them. That's a righteous person. They seek advice. They look for ways to grow. That's that person. Well, let's look at it in nature. There are examples of that too. So what you're going to see is water buffaloes. And you'll see a family kind of drift off from the body. And of course, the lions are waiting. I'm going to ask you a question, like, who gets hurt in this scenario? There they are, drifting away. There's the dad leading the way away from the body. That's the worst thing a dad can do. The lions are waiting. Well, he sees the lions and he tries to run back to the body. However, the little one pays the price. It wasn't that the dad wanted the little one to pay the price. He did. So he goes back to the body. He goes back to the herd. And he lets them know, I don't know how, they don't talk or anything, but somehow he signaled them that the kid is in trouble. So the whole herd comes around. Remember, the lion represents Satan. If we all confront Satan, they will flee. And you'll see, look, they freed the little guy. The little guy made it. And then they're not happy with that. They're going to attack this guy. They're going to attack Satan. If you confront Satan, he will flee. Ooh, see those lions are fleeing. That's how the body works. The body works like that. Look, he flung him up in the air. Don't be afraid. In Jeremiah it says, if you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord. If you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful, just, and righteous way you swear, as surely as the Lord lives, then the nations will be blessed by him, and in him they will live and prosper. That's the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Now, let's go back to Bruce. So he became God for a little while. And it just wore him down because he was so self-centered. He was trying to use all the powers of God to glorify himself. He became the top reporter in the nation, and he got all this money, and he got all these things. He got revenge on people. But eventually, it wore him down. Eventually, being self-centered will wear you down. You'll get so tired of trying to get everything for yourself. And what happened to Bruce, he finally figured, he started to pray to God. He said, God, just show me a sign. And then, as he said that, a whole truck of signs came right in front of him. But he didn't see it. So he gets out, he crashes his car because he's so upset. He gets out, he's walking along, and he just kneels down in the middle of the road, and he says, God, show me what to do. And he saw this bright light coming at him, but it wasn't God, it was an 18-wheeler. And he gets run over. And then this is what happens next.
Can't kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
Why? That's what I'm talking about. That's the spark. You want me to do it? I want you to pray, son.
Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, be hungry. And bring peace. All of your anger. Okay. Great. If you want me to sit there. What do you really care about?
Grace's is what? Someone up there did like him. It was Morgan Freeman. He's one of my favorite actors. I don't know if you know, but he gives a lot of money every year for cancer research. He's one of the leading donors for the type of cancer I have. And he does a great job in this movie. I mean, he plays God, but he does a great job. But anyway, in Ezekiel it says, repent. Turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart, new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. And Bruce repented. That's what he did. 2 Corinthians. As a description of the body of Christ. For the body of Christ to work, everybody has a job. You know, it gives an example of one part of the body says, oh, I want to be the one in charge. I want to be the one. No, then what about the feet? You don't have feet. Or the heart, or whatever it is. We all have a job. We all have gifts we were given by God, and we have to do that job. It may not be the job, but it'll be a job that will help the body of Christ. Nancy and I recently went to a show by Michael Jr. I don't know if anybody's seen him. But he's from Grand Rapids, and he does a great job. But he likened this to an automobile that broke down. So we have a couple of automobile people. So they look, see why this automobile broke down. And they look at the muffler, and the muffler said, I'm exhausted. The starter says, hey, I'm not trying to start anything, but I'm doing all the work here. Battery says, everyone quiet, I'm in charge. The spark plug says, hey, you don't know me, I'm from under the hood. Well, the voice of reason is the radiator, because he's trying to keep things cool. But they all were trying to do each other's job. And they weren't happy with the job they had, and that car won't run. If we're happy with what we do, with what God has given us as a job, then the church can run, and the body of Christ can function. And that's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians. You should go back and read this in great detail. So what kind of church do we want? All the arrows pointing in, or all the arrows pointing out? Out. I believe we are the church where everybody is trying to fellowship with each other, looking for things to do, trying to serve, no matter what that means. That's what we are. Well, that concludes it, but I have one more clip. What would an Easter Sunday be without the linebacker? Everybody know the linebacker? Yeah, so the linebacker's here. He went to this university, and he found a creative way to stop me-centric people, to stop me-ism, and he turned it way down.
Here at the National Institute of Student Ministries, our researchers have discovered a radical new method of addressing a shocking trend that has shaken the very foundation of this prestigious institution. Quite frankly,
you know what, bro? I don't really care. Today, it's all about me.
The new linebacker deals directly with the me, 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 me attitude.
When it's about me, you gotta pay up me. Be out to the esophagus. Be out to your medulla oblongata. Be out to your pancreas, baby. Booyah, booyah, booyah! You see, we live in a culture that every commercial is telling you this. If you don't buy my product, you're not skinny enough. You're not tall enough. You're not... Philippians 2, it's not about you.
Hey, I'm just like, well, I haven't been forever. I need to spend some money on me. I need to go make your brain. And go.
Ouch. In one community alone, veganism has dropped 75%.
You were lost, but now you're balanced. You see, but the linebacker is trying to kick it to you straight, Rod. The linebacker's here to blow the me out of you so the Christ can fill you.
Hey, what are you doing? You want to come hang out after church?
No, I think I'm going to go home and jizzam.
Jizzam? You need to be focused on the great...
Hi. The linebacker is here to promote thy will be done, not my will.
It's about community.
So, I really need help from a walk for the boy. I need...
Your mama's talking to you, your daddy's calling you, and you can't even hear because you're texting. You're texting. You're always on the phone. You see, what the linebacker does is when kids are in outer space, I give them a booyah of grace. But we lost the capacity to communicate face to face. Woo! Put down your heart and give it to God.
Expect it when you least expect it. For all of us here at NIFSM, no pain, no gain.
That's it. Let's have a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this body of Christ I thank you mostly for this body of Christ that is here, that has helped me through so much. God, I pray that we can continue to be righteous disciples, that we can overcome our me-ism, that we can overcome our me-centric ways, that we can stop thinking about just ourselves and start thinking about those around us, and we affect them. God, it's so easy to get wrapped up in ourselves, and I pray that we can overcome that. With your help, we can. Without your help, we can't. We pray. pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.